The word for today is self-assessment. To get the health we want, we're going to look in the mirror and ask ourselves some big questions. It turns out the answers aren't always what we expect. Welcome to Health Wanted. Thanks for joining us. My name's John Ventresca. And with me again is my friend Jason Worf. Jason, how are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, that's great. Today, we're going to talk about a little self-evaluation. As we said before, kind of a theme that we have going through this podcast is a learning approach where we need to really start by understanding the situation, really understanding each of us, really kind of looking in the mirror and understanding what's going on, what's working and what's not working. And Jason, I know, you know, kind of being in the learning field like me, that's a good place to start with, right? Is kind of that understanding the needs analysis and what's the problem with the, what's going on here exactly, right?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Taking a look at the situation and where our best selves should be in our own eyes, I guess.
Yeah.
Assessing that and seeing where you fall short, or at least in my case, definitely falling short. So
not true. That, come on, that's not true. So we'll be looking at some information on that and kind of some different approaches to kind of do a little bit of a self-assessment in a fun way of kind of what of each of us is going through. And so like every episode, we like to start with checking our vitals a little bit and seeing how Jason and I are doing here. Kind of the last couple of weeks of your life, Jason, hopefully you've been doing all right. Do you want to start things off or want me to?
Sure. Yeah. Checking our vitals, you know, our blood pressure, especially. I've never had my blood pressure checked so much as in the last few weeks. I was in the emergency room overnight for watching and evaluating, and they called it monitoring my blood pressure.
Talk about evaluating. Yeah. You were, you really... When we had talked before about evaluating ourselves, you're such like an over the top person. You thought, you know, I need to just get admitted to really get fully evaluated. Yeah. That's commitment. I really appreciate that.
Well, you know, back in learning, you know, you want to find the average. So, you know, over a 12-hour period, if I had my blood pressure taken constantly, the average wasn't too bad. I have the stats here. I could share those, but
yeah,
you could always do better.
You got your AVS, your after visit summary right there with all the all the gruesome details.
All of them, all 6 pages. But yeah, you know, it was a lot better. The blood pressure was actually a lot better than I thought it was actually feeling. I have this condition with my heart. It's just an irregular heartbeat once in a while. And you know, but when that happens, your body, you know, it injects a little shot of adrenaline. So that, of course, plays into how you feel about what's going on. And I certainly was feeling a lot different than what the monitor was saying.
Wow.
That was quite an experience.
Yeah. So I think you had said you kind of knew already that you had this in the past, but it never came to this kind of serious of a level, or was it completely learning about this the ventricular kind of business that you have?
Yeah, it's I spent a lot of time with grandparents when I was growing up, and both of my grandfathers were in the military. One was in the Vietnam War, the other one was in the Korean War. So these guys, they're tough guys, right? So if ever anything they had, ailments, et cetera, it was, you know, stay away from the doctor because they're only going to tell you have something wrong. And I already know that. So, I think that kind of mentality brushed off on me. So it's, you know, if there's a pain on one side and there's the same kind of pain on the other side, it kind of evens out and, we don't have to involve doctors. So, throughout growing up, I felt this situation before, but I just feel like it's been exacerbated over the last 3 or 4 months or so. So it came to a head with the pandemic going on, et cetera, et cetera. I have a precondition of asthma. So, getting in to see my regular doctor is a little bit of a challenge because before you enter the building, they ask you if you have breathing problems. And asthmatics know they have breathing problems. So you have to answer that yes. Mm-hmm. So going to the emergency room was my only option.
Right. When they hear that, when anyone hears that in healthcare now, all the alarms go off, the kind of like the troops run in, and it's like kind of COVID, possible COVID. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you're like, trying to say, asthmatic here, not in my whole life.
Exactly. I feel for the woman who was watching the front door. You know, she's going through this rote question and response, type of script. And I'm sure that most people just say, no, I'm feeling fine and walk mm-hmm. through. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking. And I said, well, actually I am having breathing problems. That's why, mm-hmm. why I'm here. And exactly. I mean, it wasn't as, you know, she didn't put me in a full Nelson or anything like that, but it definitely took her off guard, I would say.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, the symptoms thing is really, it's really something with all of this that you go anywhere now and you almost have to lie a little bit, like kind of, you have to think of coughing, sniffling, anything that could remotely throw off that red flag, and kind of it's like, you know, I picture the button under the desk at a bank where they just kind of push the right. It's the security button, you know, kind of if it's any of those symptoms, and then everyone swoops in and assumes the worst of you, and it could just be something completely harmless.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have to kind of bite your tongue with some of these because they're always on the lookout for. They're kind of pretending. They're asking what your symptoms are just for your overall general health. And pre-March of last year, that's what we would just answer with of kind of,
right,
yeah,
right.
kind of, hey, just something kind of in there and kind of mm-hmm. a breathing type, you know, type thing. And now after years of being used to answering those straightforwardly, we almost can't because it's just like, you know, you have your lawyer next to you before you answer. Right? Okay, now look, before I answer, I'm an asthmatic. Yeah. Here's I have my representation will prove I'm asthmatic. You know, it's like that.
Yeah.
You get all defensive.
I don't know how much you want me to go into this story, but, it was somewhat comical.
You're willing to share.
Sure. After this episode here of trying to get into my doctors and getting, you know, pushed away, two different ways. One was the front desk person, and then me calling the nurse at my doctor's, and she is talking to her manager, and the manager says, yeah, you have to go to the emergency room. Like, okay. I was able to get a PCR test, and that came back negative. So I called my doctors the next day after I received that negative test, and they said, well, you know, you can kind of, I'm sure everybody can understand the next phrase that's coming is, you tested negative at one point yesterday or the day before, you could have caught or transacted it in between that mm-hmm. time and talking on the phone right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it was like, oh, okay, I have really only one option, and that is to go to an emergency room and do it mm-hmm. that way. So,
yeah, that's just terrible that was the only kind of recourse, you know. And although something that is admirable is you find new ways for people to turn you away, which is pretty, pretty cool. I thought I had that mastered, but you found new ways for that. So that's impressive.
I felt like I was back in high school, you know.
So good job there.
Sure.
Yeah. And then the ED experience, which I don't know if how many people have had the misfortune of having to experience either themselves or a family member in the ED is not to knock the staff that works there at all. I mean, they're just like so committed mm-hmm. and it's such a thankless job, but you can, it's kind of funny. Last year, my mom was there getting cared for, and they just had to stay there. It's sort of in a limbo of not really being admitted, but not being, you know, critical emergency patient. It was sort of like,
right.
You're having her own respiratory issues. This was before COVID all came through, and just, you know, being cooped up there and for someone in their 80s is just, you know, just terrible for anyone in any age, but you know, definitely for someone who's older and just kind of there on their own. And maybe we were allowed to visit a little bit, again, before COVID really took over last year. But
right.
it was okay. sort of a, it wasn't a room. It wasn't any real privacy or, you know, HIPAA true adherence to that as far as, you know, your personal information, you know, kind of then eventually getting moved upstairs to getting admitted for her last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you probably had to go through some of that. And it's just, I'm guessing there was a lot of that for you too.
Yeah. It's really interesting to hear your experience, John. And there is that, I called it emergency room adjacent. Mm-hmm. You're kind of in limbo. You're not necessarily in the hospital, as you mentioned, but mm-hmm. you're not in the emergency room anymore. And it's three walls and a curtain. Before I left there, the guys next to me, there were three gentlemen, three other gentlemen, and I heard all of their ailments and discussing all of those treatments. And I was only there for about 8 hours in that particular space, but it was not it was anything but private.
Yeah,
you know, not that I was expecting, you know, the Four Seasons, but a little bit more privacy.
Four Seasons landscaping. Yeah. That's tough. Although on the flip side, it's good that it turned out it wasn't anything too serious, that you kind of, it was, again, having to make that decision to go there, or decision being made for you, and you turned out to be okay, right? You know, kind of that you were able to get patched up and get discharged pretty mm-hmm. quickly, right? So that's good, at least, you know, you kind of just trying to be optimistic. It's something that we'll be talking about a lot on the show, is the mental response to all these things in life, and trying to try to put as good of a spin as you can on something like this. You know, when something lousy happens in life, a lot of times it's like, well, at least this is material for my future conversations with people. You know, you could say that,
right? And,
you know, it's like, I've been needing a good story to tell people. So now you got the, another kind of misadventure like that.
I tell you, you know, for me anyway, we've been pretty conservative on our side of interacting socially with folks, you know, out there in the world. Mm-hmm. I spoke face to face with more people in that event, in that, you know, I guess it was maybe 12 hours total in that experience than I have in over the last year, I would say. Mm-hmm. People a couple feet away from me and we're having conversations. It was interesting because, you know, on the street, if you're walking down the street, someone's coming toward you, you know, you cross the street, or if they don't have a mask and you can't cross, you're like, okay, I'll wait up a driveway. Mm-hmm. So you take all these precautions to keep some distance from folks. And when you're in the ER, that's not an option, right? Mm-hmm. I did get another test. It was the second time I was tested in a week and it came back negative. And once that happened, I noticed a real change in the way folks, you know, treated me. And, you know, there was this level of what do I want to say, comfort, you know, mm-hmm. or some of the anxiety was taken out of the interaction. I could sense that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense. You're kind of once you get put through that, they're not as concerned about you, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
right.
It's very weird. It's like we've been saying about so many things. It's very, very, very strange. But something that when I had my kidney transplant, I guess, whatever, however many years ago it was now, one small good thing is you get a lot of just not relaxation time, but being both parents, both of us, if you have someone else caring for your kids and you're just lying in bed and, you know, I was very fortunate to just have a smooth recovery from my kidney transplant. And you know what? Just to be fed and have someone else I'm out of work and I was getting paid, fortunately, and someone else was taking care of my kids. And my wife, who was the donor of the kidney swap that we were in, she's over across the hall. So we're both kind of, in a weird way, kind of taking it easy. And it's kind of strange that it takes a hospital stay sometimes to do that. But I think a lot of parents can understand what we're saying of kind of, hey, you know, it's not going to a fun weekend at a hotel, but you know, if your kids are in good hands and you're just being cared for a couple hours in a weird way, it's kind of nice.
Right.
As weird as that sounds.
Mr. Ventresca, you can go home now. It's like, I'll wait another hour or two.
Right. Yeah. Even the switching from the hospital gown back to regular clothes is kind of, you know, it's kind of getting used to that hospital gown there for a while. So what does that say about you?
Yeah. Right.
So I'm glad you got better and yeah, you've been okay since then.
It reminds me, because you, as one would, I think you go ahead and you start back into your regular rhythm, right? You know, and there are moments when you want to stop, you want to be mindful of what you have and what you're thankful for, especially with, you know, that it was scary. I'm not going to lie. Was wondering, you know, worrying, because I had never felt that sensation before. It was a combination of a bunch of stuff. But one of the things that reminds me is my chest hair. They had to put all of these sticky nodes all over my upper body.
Electrodes, kind of?
Electrodes, exactly. Yeah. I was hooked up the whole time. And the nurses came in the morning and asked, you know, hey, can we go ahead and remove these? And I mean, there were like 16 of them. And yeah, I was like, well, I don't know if you've ever seen the scene out of 40-Year-Old Virgin, but it's going to be Kelly Clarkson up here if we do that. So they were nice enough to let me take them off at home.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And manscaping.
Yeah.
That's right.
All I would say. Yeah. For a stress test, I had to have those on, and yeah, that's some serious adhesive there. And yeah. And I had one on my arm, and then later the day when I got home, I had a scratch on my shoulder, my upper arm, and I forgot there was still one there. Oh, hey, there's still one over there. That's like, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I'm glad it worked out okay. And yeah, old age, it's just another thing to look out for, you know? So my experience recently was not as serious at all, but I did have a teeth cleaning, which was not too bad. But the big takeaway from that was, here's another sign of getting older, knowing for a while that I have gums that are receding. And this has been something that I've known for a little while, but now they said, oh, we have to start measuring these, because we have to really know, you know, for, you know, between this visit and your next visit, how much they're going to continue receding,
Oh, wow.
So not anywhere at all of the seriousness of your experience, but just more on the depressing scale. They go through tooth by tooth, and they're just sort of poking each tooth, and, you know, 232 and 331 and whatever, saying these numbers
right
that they're capturing. And it's pretty demoralizing. It's sort of one of those, the tech didn't really say it, but basically you're at the advanced age where we need to really measure this receding gum issue, you know? So, but she was nice about it, but that's really what she was saying. So that was a little sad.
Suggestion would be to not understand what those numbers are and put some headphones in next time you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. What else? I did measure my blood pressure. I have a home machine here, battery powered, little home blood pressure check. And it's quite a nifty little thing. You just put the wrap around your arm, and then it inflates. It's just one button. And I got 146 over 101, and I thought, okay, that sounds really bad. Let me try it again. And I had a long sleeve shirt on, so I put it on over the sleeve, because I'm not really sure, does a sleeve need to be off? Rolling up your sleeve and all that for the whoever's taking your blood pressure. It was 128 over 91, which is much. And then again,
did you try it with like a parka the next time?
No, I rolled up the sleeve. And just right on the skin, you know, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was pretty much no different. 130 over 91.
Okay.
So I think it's okay. It's not like the best, but I think it's all right. The sleeve, I guess, can be on, you know, your shirt, your garment. And I don't know if you knew this, but the blood pressure reading is measured. I was wondering what the heck these numbers were.
Right.
And it's measured in millimeters of mercury, you know, mmHg. And it's written as systolic pressure, the force of the blood against the artery walls as your heart beats, over diastolic pressure, the blood pressure between heartbeats. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Yeah. I knew those two words, but I had no idea what they meant.
Yeah, with this age thing, it's it becomes more and more prominent what those numbers are. I've had my blood pressure taken, you know, every time you go to the doctors, but mm-hmm. you know, didn't know what they meant until I was in my 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leads into our main topic here of self-evaluation or assessment. We talked about a lot of kind of the things that we want to accomplish with Health Wanted, not just me and you, you know, Jason and I, but everyone listening, to really be part of this and to really participate and go along on this little trek that we're taking of trying to figure out what's really going on here, what's working for each of us, what's not working, and just sharing our experiences like we're doing here with our adventures and misadventures of
right.
of health and work and this lingering pandemic and everything else. Just kind of, it's a little bit of survival mode, physically taking care of yourself and mentally and spiritually for some people or for all of us, that when that's a priority too. It's something I really want to kind of get some answers, but also just to see what other people are experiencing. I mean, shoot, man, really, you think about it, just talking with people that I know, talking with you, Jason, and this pandemic has really done a number on people. I mean, it really has.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I mean, I don't like to overstate things, but this is really, and it's fascinating to me of how people have responded to this kind of to themselves, you know, individually, with their kids, with their family, extended family and their friends, and just their kind of their outlook on life and their daily routines. It really interests me. And mm-hmm. I think people are looking for kind of support and some answers and just sort of a back and forth of like, I'm not the only one feeling like this, you know, and going through all this. And like I've said before, for me and you and a ton of other people, even before March 2020, life was like, you know, oh my God, you know, a lot of days even beforehand with work and family, kids, you name it.
Right.
You know, unemployment, employment, crazy bosses, crazy coworkers, and then adding this layer on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's funny because you say the tough guy mentality. I feel like for the most part, I'm like that also,
mm-hmm.
you know, just sort of wanting to dismiss things. And, you know, when I really have a real kind of monitor or alert when I feel people are just throwing themselves a pity party, that's real. It's almost like a pet peeve of mine.
And, right,
you know,
right.
just sort of, oh, here we go with this person, you know, whoever, maybe we all have someone like this in our lives,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? Stuff like this that we're going through, this isn't stuff to just sweep under the rug and just to ignore. I mean, it really is. It's not healthy to do that. I'm tempted to do that. You know, for years I've been kind of that type of person of, you know, I'll be fine. Just kind of just stop doing what I'm doing right this second. And you know, just try to be a little bit smarter with stress and with kind of my health, and just, it'll work out fine is what I like to think. You mm-hmm. know, you, mm-hmm. I think you were kind of saying the way you're wired, veering in that kind of mindset too, right?
Yeah, you know, I think what this whole thing has taken away for most people, especially folks who I talk with and are related to, are just those little nuances that, you know, I wouldn't say we were taking them for granted before all of this, but I would say mostly they would occupy our mind, occupy our time, and occupy our attention. Mm-hmm. And those were taken out of the mix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think, given way to folks focusing more on, you know, perhaps those ailments, you know, negative situations in their life or other lives. And, you know, I think there have been aspects of life recently where a little bit of that diversion of attention has taken over. I mean, it quite clearly streaming services are at an all-time high. You can see mm-hmm. that. And my mom is an avid user of TikTok, and I receive two or three TikTok URLs every day about beavers and you know, science projects and whatever. And that's nice. You know, we didn't have that before. Mm-hmm. Where she would send me stuff like that. And, but you know, I think John, what you were saying is, there's been a sense of what we've lost, what's been taken away. How do we cope with that? How do we cope with the new challenges? Certainly. And, you know, I think with everything that's going on in our society, both, you know, mentally, physically, health-wise, big social movements and activism, you know, it can feel certainly overwhelming. And you know, I've been right in there as well. So
yeah, yeah. So what I was thinking about kind of preparing for this episode was, you know, thinking of health priorities and identifying each of our priorities. You know, for me, it's, you know, trying to, you know, lose a little bit of weight, to handle stress and just sort of got a lot of things going on in life here with me and my family right now, being able to balance all that, how to be good at my work, be a good dad, be a good friend, and, good to all the jobs that I have basically in life. You know, mm-hmm. that's almost a health priority. But, and then I just said it kind of right there. My answer was life priorities. They kind of go together for me. And I mean, I'm curious what you think of this. It could be different for other people. Maybe health priorities are kind of a little more delineated from life priorities, you know, but for me, being a little bit older and my kids are a smidge older, you know, teenage kids and all the stuff that they got going on and we have to be on top of, my wife and I, is a huge part of my life along with work and taking care of myself. You know, people my age have out of the blue just dropped dead from heart attacks. And, you know, there's no, you know, a lot of times warning for that, you know, and I think, you know, I think I'm a pretty mellow guy, but not always, you know, with stress and just with the upsets.
Teenage daughters.
Life. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, and I try to be, you know, pretty even keeled with things, but I got to watch out for that. I don't want to just kind of be even more urgently taking an ambulance to your recent place, the ED, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, yeah, health priorities have a real Venn diagram overlap with life priorities. What do you think about those two?
Yeah, I think you're right on there. I think life priorities, especially when it comes to your occupation, household, family needs. Mm-hmm. For me anyway, I feel like those take priority over health related priorities a little bit. And so with that kind of Venn diagram example there, it's where is that sweet spot where you can get both of them to your advantage, you know, without overextending yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think I have a positive, or at least if I have to do a self-evaluation, I have a positive outlook on take, you know, I guess what's that phrase? You got to take time to make time or vice versa.
That's not what I was thinking. I thought you were going to say you take the good, you take the bad. You take them both and there you have
the facts of life. For yeah. Sure. For sure.
So you just threw me there.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I just envision, you with a white t-shirt and a rolled up pack of smokes, you know, it's, maybe it's the wrong show.
Yeah. Well, maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think. George Clooney was briefly on. If you're envisioning me as a young George Clooney on The Facts of Life, I appreciate that.
It's exactly what came to my mind. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I made a quick list of kind of for me life priorities, and maybe not specifically for me, but I'm thinking for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yep.
So these are life
priorities.
Yeah. Yeah. So
in the Venn diagram or in and of themselves.
Just kind of on their own, like kind of in a big circle. Gotcha. We'll have to, once we get the visual side of things ramped up for Health Wanted, we'll start putting some of these visuals in there.
You know, with I like our, it.
Once we have the, I'm thinking probably next week, 1 million Instagram followers or something like that.
You sure.
know, I think sure. possibly 2 million, you know, but I think we'll be up there pretty quickly.
Okay.
You know, both of us being parents, I mean, the priority's right there. You know, our kids' health is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, like I was talking to my wife about this, and a lot of moms kind of, they put their kids' health before their own. If you kind of say like, what's important as far as health, they right up there, maybe 1 and 1A is like making sure their kids are okay. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
and dads too. So that's a huge one. I mean, I worry a ton about my kids and their health, their physical and emotional health, their well-being, their future, you know, everything that's going on in this crazy planet. I worry about where we're going to be in 5, 10, 20 years. So there's a lot to think about as far as priorities with them. And then, of course, you know, career, work, you know, that's a huge one. Job security, income, trying to improve your income, that kind of thing. And then, you know, going along with income is paying all those bills that you have now, you know, for parents, again, thinking about the future, you know, saving for college, you know, saving for your retirement, you know, just getting closer to retirement age. Not close, I didn't say close, but getting a smidge closer.
Moving in that general direction.
Yeah, right. Time always wins, right? Creative pursuits. I mean, you know, like us doing stuff like this here, you know, you want to spend time and set aside time for that, all those things that you want to do in life, activism and volunteering and kind of doing community stuff and schools and being involved. I mean, that's important for my wife and I, and probably for you and so many people. And then just overall, just happiness, you know, just really what, you know, whatever that definition is of happiness for everyone.
Right.
And achievement and really, again, looking in the mirror, like what you really want to accomplish for yourself, whether it's any sort of personal achievement or goals, or you know how that ties into your happiness. There's so many life priorities. You could probably list so many others, right?
Sure, a lot more than five, right?
Yeah.
So 3 to 5.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, your kids are Gen Z, right?
I guess.
Yeah. Mine is right on the cusp. I think 2012 is the cutoff, and people born after 2012 are just little kids right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
kind of doesn't matter. But I have been reading more and more about that generation. It seems as though what's been going on recently has like magnified the differences between the generations.
Yeah,
and I really think the younger generations are going to be, if you know, generations like you and I are in, if we leave the place how we found it, I think they're going to be okay. It's you know, with me, I always go back to what I've learned from television, my greatest teacher. There's this nearing the end of The Wire, and I'm not going to go into, you know, if that's the best TV program ever. I won't get into that argument, nearing the end, they talk about trying to engage with younger people and how they can change how the world interacts with them and how they interact with their world. And I really believe that in doing what I do, working for the Center for Nutrition Studies, we talk with tons and tons of parents. How do I get my kids to eat, you know, better? Even not even just whole food plant-based, but just better, right? How do I get them away from the fast food and hot dogs and hamburgers and things like that, where they're wanting better food? And, one of the easiest ways to do that is just start before they even can make a decision. And I think, you know, there is a priority for us, is helping our daughter move forward in life with the best foundation that we can give her. Now, obviously, she's on her way to a tween, but, you know, it might be too late for some things. But, I think that's a priority, is just making sure that she's exposed to great things and we keep a positive attitude towards those things that maybe we can't control.
Yeah. That's another huge one for sure. So I guess, you know, it's you know, really trying to figure out for each of us, how do you fit those health priorities in with your life priorities? It's going to be different for everyone. You know, so I was thinking about this on my own, and, you know, a big one, like I said a little bit earlier, was physical health. I feel that my cardio health, you know, whatever the right term is there, is just lousy. I mean, I do a little bit of exercising, you know, maybe a little bit of running, very slow, or some biking or walking, but not regularly. Trying to get to the gym or even just around my neighborhood or going to, you know, a trail nearby, whatever. It's just getting into that routine. And we're going to talk about it more in the future, getting into that routine. of doing
it's
that.
It's a behavior change, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, it's a behavior change.
It is. And
I mean, there's studies that show it takes 2 months to add just a simple glass of water into your diet every day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To you know, adopt that behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just kind of getting to that, slowly working in those, kind of folding in these new things into your daily routine, not blowing up your daily routine, but slowly integrating things like regular bits of exercise. I mean, I want to run a half marathon. I'd love to run a marathon someday. You know, I'm kind of scaling things back now. Even I'll just be happy at this point to run a half marathon. But that's a goal that I really have. Again, maybe, who knows, someday. I keep saying someday for half marathon, especially a marathon. But I really want to, and that involves a lot of things to get there. I'd love to just you know, warp to that point of being ready for it. I don't know if there even are races these days. Are they even holding any live?
I've seen some advertisements. You know, there's a local shoe store that puts on some events, etc. And I've seen a couple. I think they're hoping for that.
Oh, good. I would hope
we'll see how it goes. Yeah. You don't have to wear it during the, you know, everything that was going on last year. I saw someone over in Europe run a marathon on their balcony, which is like 20 feet wide.
Oh my god!
You know,
that's you'd go a little crazy there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, and something I've done in the past, and my wife, is we register for a 5K or something like that 6 months in advance, and it's there, and you better start getting out there and running. And that does work. It's not really, it doesn't really work long term, because then we've slid backwards afterwards, unfortunately.
Right. But you got the key there, right? Is you set a goal and then you have a buddy. In this case, it's your wife. Mm-hmm. You've made a pact, right, with her and she with you. So there's that psychological aspect of it. And, you know, if you want to adopt exercise more, and typically for a parent, that's, you know, you got to carve time out of time that's not spent with your family or doing stuff for your family and or work. So that's typically in the morning or late at night. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things you might want to try is next to your bedstand, have like a pad and a piece of paper and say, I will get out of bed and go for a run in the morning. Mm-hmm. If you write that down psychologically, that does something in your mind so that when you wake up, you're in that mindset.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I have terrible handwriting though, so I probably wouldn't remember what I wrote.
Right.
But when I was moving on to kind of psychological health or mental health, thinking about those priorities personally, I completely forgot, oh, by the way, I got a transplanted new kidney a few years ago. That's something that, again, it's out of sight, out of mind with my kidney, that I forgot to list it, you know, kind of when I was thinking physical health. Like other people who've maybe been in similar situations of getting a kidney, and it's the greatest gift. And I just sometimes forget about it. When I'm listing physical health, I just think of, you know, just kind of what's more on the surface as far as getting a little more fitter and running and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. One thing I have found, you were talking about looking in the mirror, is maybe this is a trick on older gentlemen. The less muscle mass you have in your arms, when you look in the mirror, that there's an optical illusion that it makes your torso look wider, or you know what I mean? So don't feel bad if you see that optical illusion.
Okay.
It just means you're losing a little bit of muscle tone in your arms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good to know. That's,
wow. Absolutely.
I feel a lot better now. So good.
Sure. You should. I do too.
Right. As we get back to our growler and crawler conversation, it's just an illusion on the mirror. I mean, you know,
it is.
Yeah,
you know,
as the glass bottles clank around in the recycling bin, right?
You can't see yourself. You have to see your own reflection.
Yes. So. Yeah. So again, connecting physical health to mental health, that could be a life priority on its own. You know, it really could. And that's in something, again, that we'll talk in future episodes further about, is feeling in better shape mentally or psychologically can be almost a gateway to reaching some of these other life priorities, including physical improvement, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're stressed out, if you're, you know, just kind of with work or whatever, or COVID or otherwise, overcoming that and getting that a little bit improved can lead to so many other good things otherwise, right?
Absolutely. We, in fact, it's been a little bit of an uphill battle But I think what's helped this concept is the fact that we are so open about it at work, where their concept of Zoom fatigue, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. People are on Zoom all day instead of a face-to-face meeting, that it psychologically, it fires different receptors, for lack of a better phrase, mm-hmm. that I can come up with, than if you're talking face-to-face. Mm-hmm. Talking face-to-face, there's body positioning, and you look at the other person differently. You're using different visual stimulators. So what we've done anyway is revert to a day of the week where we have no meetings. Mm. So we call that No Meeting Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it really has, at least the feedback from the team has been super positive, you know, that they're so thankful they can just do work.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about meetings on the calendar. They don't have to worry about Zoom meetings, mm-hmm. especially. And I think that has really improved the quality of, folks' happiness at work.
Yeah, that's great. I've read about that too, with the Zoom fatigue. So what I was thinking next is we talk about the next thought exercise for everyone. Kind of similar to last time, taking it a step further. What we want to try to do is, and jump in, Jason, with kind of what you think of this.
Sure.
The list of, I'm thinking maybe three to five, depending on each of you, however, what you prefer, listing your health priorities, trying to really identify those health priorities. And then after that, do the same thing for those life priorities, three or four, give or take, of your top priorities right now in life. And I guess, and see what you think of this. When I said right now, I mean kind of currently, but also looking ahead. Life priorities are, to me, taking care of what's happening right now, but also, the near future and the farther out future. I would put those all in my life priorities. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that, because we are dealing with a lot of, I think, near-term, short-term priorities that hopefully will not be there in a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah, great.
For sure.
So think of, mentally or written down, just having a good little notebook to just jot things down on. I love that.
Even if you can't read it.
I'm working on that. I'm still working on my handwriting after all these years. But I have a couple of nice notebooks that I've gotten as gifts or just got myself. And I don't know, I think you probably have stuff like that too, just jotting stuff down.
Yeah, I do. I do keep a notebook on the side. It's mostly a legal pad, mm-hmm. and whatever writing device I can get my hands on.
Got it. Yep.
Nothing fancy.
All right. Then after you do those, hopefully get those two lists compiled. Lastly is to think about the connections between those two lists. Like we kind of talked about here. For you, what are, again, I'm a big visual person, thinking of maybe a Venn diagram and thinking of overlap of those two lists, or kind of, if you want to put, one in the left circle and one in the right circle, not required, but whatever works for you, of kind of really thinking of how they overlap. And then when you do that, you next try to think of some obstacles or challenge that you can maybe identify in reaching your life priorities. So once you kind of see, maybe they don't overlap very much at all, maybe they really overlap. And then kind of, you really identify and think next about it doesn't have to be a list, but maybe once you've written them down, or again, in your head, if you had that mental capacity that clearly I don't, you can kind of start thinking of some of those obstacles. And, I can think of a couple immediately, others maybe take for you, kind of stew over them a little bit, of health obstacles that then become life obstacles to life priorities. And you can kind of then, once you have all that kind of, swirling around in your head or written down or typed up, then we'll come back in future episodes. We'll be continuing this. We'll be working on what do we do next with this self-assessment and start to really get into really looking at some of these common things that a lot of us are dealing with, really looking at these obstacles and challenges. A lot of them that we're sharing, but a lot of them maybe aren't so common. And what feeds into that is, you know, you listening and really hearing from you and you sharing. If you want to, it would be awesome to hear some of these things. And you don't have to include your name if you don't want to. Just to hear some of your what you're finding in kind of listing these priorities and really identifying these obstacles that life is that you're dealing with in life to reach those priorities and where you want to be. What do you think, Jason? Does that make sense? Does that sound good to you?
I really like that idea. I think there's, you know, both things folks can think about that are going on now, and then possibly on those lists, a future state, mm-hmm. what they can aspire to, and how that relates to both mm-hmm. those life necessities, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Priorities are and necessities, and how you can fold in those aspirations of those health priorities. Mm-hmm. You know, you can dial those up or do more of it or do it at all. Mm-hmm. Start.
Yep.
And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And kind of like you said before, which also ties to, you know, our field of learning and development that we're in, is that element of behavioral change. I don't want to overuse it because it could sound like, you know, kind of a big phrase that doesn't really apply to, you know, maybe everyone. And it's just, you know, part of me is thinking even, I'm not looking for any big behavioral change, buddy. I'm just kind of wanting to tweak some things and make, you know, kind of get things a little more sane in my life. But you know what? It's sort of some degree of behavioral change, even if it's just making a tiny little change, like Jason, you were saying about, you know, day to day. It's not blowing up that daily routine or, you know, like overhauling your life at all. Not at all.
Yep.
For me or Jason, you know, or any of us, it's just kind of folding in, trying to think about, first of all, really understanding some of those.
Can I give you an example of something I've done in the past? Years ago, I used to go to a grocery store in the bulk section, and I used to get roasted almonds that are super salty, so good, mm-hmm. and mix those with the dried cranberries and, you know, mix them up and eat them as a snack. Super tasty. Some folks might feel like they're very, you know, that's like, oh, that's healthy, et cetera, et cetera. Really not.
Yeah.
And so all I did was, instead of going and buying those roasted salted almonds, I get whole raw mm-hmm. almonds.
Yep.
And you have to build up your tolerance for them because they are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But even doing that small little twist, you're lowering your sodium intake. The almonds that are unroasted actually have more nutrients in them
mm-hmm.
That your body can use.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, you know, obviously I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to go into like, you know, the grams and the, you know, the benefits mm-hmm. both ways, but it's little nudges like that. Something in your refrigerator, maybe that unusable shelf where they're like the salsas mm-hmm. and the old, you know, relish goes where, you know, things go to die. And maybe it's just moving all of that junk over to the left mm-hmm. and then just sticking in some, what I've been like eating recently are these bags of those mini peppers. So they're like sweet peppers, but they're small and you can just pop them in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just placing a bag right there.
Yeah.
So it's a visual, it's like a little nudge that, you know, you're right. It is behavior change.
It is. Yeah.
It, you know, that's a, you know, that could be perceived as like an egghead mm-hmm. term or, you know, something that economists use or something right. like that. Right. So,
right. And that's what I mean. I'm not having it be off-putting of someone who's listening and kind of what's this behavioral change? Where are we going here? So yeah, it's just these little small things that you do. Something that we've found, I'm not sure if I told you this about, you probably already know this, but just moving where you put things in your kitchen. You know, we have a fruit bowl that's kind of like, hello, you know, off on a countertop. It's not, you know, that far in our standard size kitchen. You move some of that fruit into the island in the middle of your kitchen, way more popularity for those things.
Absolutely.
Maybe not everything, but it's really funny. You know, like we will just have a bowl of, again, struggling a lot of times to eat just regular healthy stuff. And we can talk more about that in the future as a regular thing to do. But having some strawberries sitting out or some raspberries or blueberries, if they're just right there, or, you know, almonds or whatever, which I love. If they're right there in front of you, it's like, hey, yeah, hello, you know, you know, instead of even just a couple steps of opening the pantry or going to that corner of the kitchen. It sounds silly, but it's a huge difference. It's funny.
Yeah. And your house, I mean, you could put the chips super high. I would never be able to reach them.
Right. Well, I have some tall kids too. So they're things that things that used to work, hiding things from the kids is not working anymore.
Like, that's right.
You know, this could be its own episode of where John hides the candy because, you know, they're now like kind of, what's that wrapper up there? Wait a second, Dad.
Right, right, right. Now you got to hide them down low because, you know, people don't want to bend over these days.
Right, right. So, it's these small little things that we can do just incrementally. And I'm an impatient person, you know, and I don't want to a lot of times have to take baby steps to get to the finish line of really improved condition. But that's for things like this and just mentally kind of like tricking your brain a little bit and kind of getting your brain to go along with this. It's got to be these like little subtle day by day things that are part of your routine or just a tiny little smidge alteration of your routine, not kind of making a massive change of what you're doing in each day. So this is a good point to wrap up here. I love this discussion, Jason. So thanks for being here again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I hope everyone out there listening got some good stuff out of this and tackling the thought exercise will have some value for you in doing that. And again, subscribe or follow, reach out to us if you'd love to hear from you. Jason, thank you again.
Thank you, John.
And take care, everyone. And we'll see you in the next episode.